Take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to Psalm 86, if you would, please. Appreciate the good music. This morning, we've been enjoying together. And turn in your Bibles, please. Psalm 86 will be our text of Scripture. In our first message, it is time to seek the Lord. It is time to seek the Lord. We'll read this psalm and then look at what the Lord has for us in this psalm. Psalm 86, beginning in verse number 1. Bow down thine ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my soul, for I am holy. O thou my God, save thy servant that trusteth in thee. Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. Rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For thou, O Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Give ear, O Lord, unto thy prayer, unto my prayer, and attend to the voice of my supplications. In the day of my trouble I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. Among the gods there is none like unto thee, O Lord. Neither are there any works like unto thy works. All nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name. For thou art great and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. I will praise thee, O Lord, my God, with all my heart. And I will glorify thy name forever. For great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. O God, the proud are risen against me, and the assemblies of violent men have sought after my soul, and have not set thee before them. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion, and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth. Oh, turn unto me, and have mercy upon me. Give thy strength unto thy servant, and save the son of thine handmaid. Show me a token for good, that they which hate me may see it, and be ashamed. Because thou, Lord, hast hope in me, and comforted me. Notice with me in verse number 3. Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. Notice with me, please, in God's word, the 88th Psalm and verse number 9. Mine eye mourneth by reason of affliction. Lord, I have called daily upon thee, and stretched out my hands unto thee. Notice verse number 13, Psalm 88. But unto thee have I cried, O Lord, and in the morning shall my prayer prevent thee. And in the morning, did you notice something in Psalm 86 verse 3, Psalm 88 verse 9, and Psalm 88 verse 13? Daily prayer. He said, be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. Psalm 86 and verse number 3. Daily. I'm going to preach for a little while, the Lord helping us all in here today on our daily prayer. Our daily prayer. Prayer is simple. Prayer is simple. Nothing difficult about praying, is there? Prayer is simple. But the discipline of getting alone with God and shutting the world out is a challenge. It's a challenge. It's time to seek the Lord. Are you praying? Do you have a prayer life? Are you seeking to draw near to Him? Are you seeking His presence? Do you set aside a time of your day more than just convenience and lay me down to sleep and bless the food? Are you setting aside time to seek the Lord? Now is the time for us to be diligent to seek the Lord. The Spirit-filled evangelist Vance Havner said, "A rut is a grave with both ends knocked out of it." A rut is a grave with both ends knocked out of it. A rut is a type of death. Can I ask you a question? Is your spiritual life in a rut? Is it like a grave with both ends knocked out of it? Do you have a life from God that is real, that is vibrant? It comes from our prayer life. Are you alive for God? You have a fire burning in your soul that cannot be quenched. Is it consuming and can't be put out? My. Are we in a rut with a grave with both ends knocked out of it? Well, we're going to take a good look, at Psalm 86. And we're going to ask the Lord about our prayer lives and see if we really need to start seeking the Lord like we should this morning out of Psalm 86. Say, "Brother Justin, I want the Lord to help me this morning. I want Him to speak to me this morning." If you feel that way in your heart, say, "I need something from the Lord," raise your hand. Amen. I sense we are at a time where it's time to seek the Lord. Heavenly Father, speak now through your word. May a breeze from heaven blow through this place. Lord, remove all distractions and anything that would hinder the working of the Spirit of God in this place. And may you work in hearts and lives as only you see fit. I know that you're the conquering one, but the devil wants to take the seed. And I pray you'd work in all of our hearts and all of our lives, and we'll give you the glory and the honor as you revive your church. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Right off the jump in verse number 1, I want you to notice something with me. We're in Psalm 86. David says, "Bow down thine ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy." Number 1, I want you to notice this is a penitent prayer. Repentant prayer, it's a penitent prayer. Meaning by that, he's repentant as he says this. Notice what he says about himself. He says, "I am poor and needy," right? I'm poor and needy. He doesn't say, "I don't need anything, Lord. I'm good." He doesn't say, "I'm rich and full and have need of nothing." That's the Laodicean church in Revelation 3. He says, "No, I need something. I'm poor and needy." Poor and needy. The easiest thing for us all to do in this place this morning is to see that everybody else needs the Lord, but not ourselves. We're the ones that need it. You're the one that need it. We're all good at pointing, "Oh, they've got that problem. She's got that problem. Oh, look at their children. Look how they do. Look how she does. Look at them. Boy, we need to really start helping them a lot. They really need the church. They really need revival." But when it gets serious, it's going to be like the old spiritual says, "It's me, it's me, it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer." That's when it gets to be repentant. The easiest thing to do is stand around and say other people need the Lord. But David said, "I'm the one that's poor. I'm the one that's needy." And when we don't say that we're needy, by declaration, we're saying that we do not need the Lord. We're saying that we're not poor and needy. We're good the way that we are. That is the problem with the church today. We just think that we're fine the way we are. We don't need any more church. We don't need any more prayer. We don't need revival. And as long as we're content to not have our revival in our own personal lives, we will not have revival until we get poor and needy. Prayerlessness stems from pride. You don't pray because you don't need God. If you didn't pray this morning, you're full of yourself. You think you can do it yourself. If you didn't pray, get along with God this week, you're fixing to fall. Because pride cometh before destruction. You have told the Lord, I think I got this on my own. Prayerlessness stems from pride. We love blaming everybody else. But the most challenging thing to see is to see ourselves in need of an awakening. To see ourselves needing to seek the Lord personally. David said, I, me, myself, and I am poor and needy. Mark it in verse 1. I am poor and needy. Do you see yourself needy? You know what? None of us in here like needy people. Let's be honest. They're needy. Come on, it's all right. I know. It's probably not very comfortable to laugh and have a good time, but none of us like needy people. But let me tell you something. Look right here. God wants you to be needy. He's jealous for you to be needy. He's waiting on us to feel our need for Him. And until we do, we'll go on powerless and prayerless. Poor and needy. In this whole psalm, you're going to find the word mercy used 5 times. Mercy is used 5 times. Why would he be using the word mercy 5 times? Why would he, from his lips, start praying about the mercy of God? People that mention the mercy of God realize they need the mercy of God because they are what? Sinful, poor creatures. People that don't talk about the mercy of God, they always talk about the goodness of God and the greatness of God and never the mercy and grace of God. Usually those people are proud people. You got to start with God's mercy. Lord, be merciful unto me, a sinner. When you talk about God's mercy, you're admitting the fact that you're a needy human being. What needs to happen first in our life is we got to recognize that we're a sinful people, a people in need of the mercy of God, and then we'll start praying like we ought to. But not only do we see him talk about himself being poor and needy, but now you're going to find out that his prayer is personal. Now, it doesn't take much observation to find out real quick when you got your Bible open and you look at Psalm 86 that you find out that it's personal. Let's look at it a little bit. Bow down thine ear, O Lord, hear me. For I am poor and needy. Preserve my soul, for I am holy. O thou, my God, save thy servant that trusteth in thee. Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. 3 verses made the point real clear, didn't it? The prayer is personal. 21 and probably more, but at least 21 personal pronouns in 17 verses. David believed that he needed something from God personal. David had a personal fellowship and communion with the God of heaven. Back to the old spiritual. It's me, it's me, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. How many times are we going to God not for our own personal self and we're lacking, worried about everybody else? God's looking for something to be personal. People might say, well, I don't know how to pray. I don't know how to pray. You're not fooling anybody. Let me take a test here, okay? Ready for test? Does everybody in here know how to talk? Raise your hand. Okay? Everybody know how to talk? Let me ask you another question. Does everybody in here know how to talk publicly? Keep your hands up. If you know how to talk publicly, raise your hand. Like you can talk with one another publicly. You see all those hands in there? You can talk publicly. I heard most of y'all this morning. And people think, well, I don't know how to pray. I can't pray publicly. You can talk to me publicly. Can't you talk to him? I'm telling you, friend, something's wrong with our hearts. I don't know how to pray. No, something wrong with the heart. And it starts in private, though. Praying is just talking to God. That's all it is. Me and Brother William have no problem talking to each other. We both are professional conversationalists. And I should have no problem talking to God. You don't have to have some form or some script to pray. And I don't bring prayers up here to the pulpit and read a script or write down my prayers. It should come from our heart, amen? Sometimes you think people do have scripts when they pray because they say the same thing they said 10 years ago. Prayer is personal. There was a popular, busy evangelist. And he was busy all over the country, flying to this meeting, to that meeting. And one afternoon, his 20-year-old daughter called him. Began to talk for about 5 minutes, just about this and about that. And finally, the evangelist thought, she must be calling for something. You ever know what I'm talking about by that? People call, they got to be calling about something. And finally, the popular evangelist said, "What'd you call me for, baby? What do you need?" She said, "Daddy, I don't need anything. I just wanted to talk to you. I wonder if there's a God in heaven. I know there's a God in heaven. He just wants to talk. He wants us to stop asking and just start talking to him. And just to tell him how we love him. And just to thank him how we've been born again and saved. Just thank him for his goodness and graces. And just commune with him as friend with him. Right here. Hey, friend. That's what our God that loves us more than we could ever imagine. That's what he wants from us. You know what that's called? That's called personal prayer. That's called a personal fellowship. David had it. 21 or more personal pronouns. It's personal. How's your personal daily prayer life? How is it? See, prayer touches the heart of the issue because your prayer life is your Christian life. You can judge your Christian life right now by your prayer life, not by your church attendance, not by your singing, not by your teaching, not by your doing this or doing that. You can judge your Christian life by your prayer life. Who knows that's true even though they don't want to say amen? That's it. We are what we are in private before a holy God. Not only a personal prayer, but oh my. This is why I preached this text of Scripture, is for this point right here. It's passionate. Our daily prayer ought to be passionate. Let's find passion. Well, you won't have to look too far. Look at verse 15. "But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion." Verse 12, "I will praise thee, O Lord, my God, with all my heart." Verse 16, "Oh, turn unto me." How about verse 6? "Give ear, O Lord." How about verse 11? "Teach me thy way, O Lord." What do you say about passion? 12 times that little word, O, is in the 86th Psalm. 12 times. I've got them marked every time they're mentioned. 12 times is that word, O, mentioned. What does O mean? What does O mean? It's an expression of the heart. It's something you say when you don't know what to say. It defies all definitions. It's a passion that's coming from a needy soul. It's the cry of a heart that is in desperate need for God. Where are the O's in our prayers? A first-hand observer of the Welsh revival, which was one of the greatest revivals in the history, in our history, he said, "I started to observe when revival started to come, the O's started to come back to the prayers. People stopped praying polished, professional prayers and they started crying, 'Oh Lord, I need thee.'" The O's returned to the prayers, they said. They dropped the formality of religion and they started crying and they started saying, "Oh God, when was the last time you said all by yourself, 'Oh Lord, I need thee'? When was the last time your heart was broken and you said, 'Oh Lord, I need thee. Oh Lord, revive me. Oh Lord, help me. Oh Lord, help me to do thy will. Oh Lord, help me to win a soul. Oh Lord, oh Lord.' When's the last time you had something deep down within and you said, 'Oh Lord, oh God, save him. Oh God, help me to live for you. Oh God, use me.' When's the last time you prayed, 'Oh Lord?" Ladies, when's the last time tears broke your makeup and you said, "Oh Lord"? Men, leaders, When's the last time, men, you prayed from your heart and you poured your heart out to God? Oh, Lord. When's the last time, men, you prayed and it didn't seem like it was a memorized line in the last and latest play, but it was from your heart? Oh, Lord. Where's our O's? We've got our polished prayers, and everybody thinks, yeah, they know how to pray. They didn't stutter, they didn't stammer, they weren't silent, they just said it all together. But where was the O at? Where was the passion? Where was the fervency? The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Why are there no amens in the house? We must have a problem. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I'm telling you, we've got to have the O's back. Hey, the old evangelist, Leonard Ravenhill said, when the eye is dry and when the amen is silent, the church sure needs revival in a desperate way. I'm afraid we're formal and not fiery. I'm afraid we're fake, not fervent. I'm afraid we're pretending and not passionate. I'm afraid we're religious and not real. Why? Because our prayers are nothing more than vain, shallow, empty repetitions, empty without heart and fire. Say to the Lord right now in your seat before we have an altar call, say to the Lord, bring back the oh in my prayer life. Bring back the passion. Who needs to admit I've got to get the O back in my prayer life? A few hands. I'll lift up both hands and kick both feet above these pulpits. I need the O back in my prayer life, and you need the O back in your prayer life. Why do we have a problem? Because we've lost our fire. We've lost our passion. It's time to seek the Lord. Passionate. Amen. Praise. The prayer was full of praise. Boy, does he brag on Jesus. For thou, verse 5, follow with me, for thou, Lord, art good, ready to forgive, plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Verse 8, among the gods there's none like unto thee. Amen. Oh, Lord, neither are there any works like unto thy works. Boy, he's bragging on Jesus, isn't he? Bragging on the Lord, no problem at all, easy. It's easy. Verse 10, for thou art great and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone. Yeah, sure. Verse number 12, I'll praise thee, O Lord, my God, with all my heart, I'll glorify thy name forever. For great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. That's where we all should begin. Hey, if God's delivered you from hell, say amen. And I shouldn't have to say in this Baptist church, say amen, if God delivered you from hell, it should be, hey, God delivered us from hell. Amen. Exactly right. It should be a praise that comes out, starts in our prayer closet. You go down there in verse 15, but thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion, gracious, long-suffering, plenteous in mercy and truth. His heart is full. His heart is full. It's running over in praise. There's no pretense in it. Why? Because it's not public, it's private. He's all by himself doing this. Our prayer life needs praise in it, but the reason there's no praise in our prayer life is because we've not got alone with God and his word and not got any praise to praise about. This is a saucer, and this is a cup. Well, he's a genius. He figured it out. A lot of us in this room this morning are trying to pray and trying to praise, but we don't got nothing in our cup. It's empty. We pray the same things over again because we've never got anything new. We sing the same things over again because we've not got anything new. What if I came, Brother Jeff, and see how long I'd be the pastor if I came to church every Sunday and preached the same sermon? You'd start to think after a while, has he ever spent any time with the Lord and prayed and got anything from God? Why do people not have anything to say when it comes time to prayer and prayer requests and prayer room and praise time? Why does a child pray, but people don't pray? And men don't pray. Maybe it is the cup's empty. You can't expect to go much longer on an empty cup. But you get a fella. Listen. That starts filling his cup up daily. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, it'll run over onto the saucer. You understand what I'm saying? And it's not a work because you're full. You're full. Why is that person always so excited and joyful? Why has he got some touch about him? He paid the price to get it to the place where he even had some on the saucer to give to somebody else. The reason we're empty and vain and shallow is because we're not full. And it's not a daily thing, it's a Sunday thing. When it's a Sunday thing, I promise you, you don't got nothing in your saucer and you don't got nothing in your cup. Ain't no education going to do it. Ain't no preacher going to do it. Ain't no church going to do it. Ain't no mom and daddy going to do it. Ain't no Sunday school class going to do it. You've got to get alone with God daily, get in that King James Bible, and read it and read it and read it and pray and pray and pray until you get full of God, and then you'll have something to give back to God and give to others. But until that happens, I don't got no magic wand, nor does anybody else have any magic wand to being a Christian that's full of God. People that are full get filled right here. How full is your cup? He was full. He had praise. By the way, that's what revival is. You want to see what revival is? I'll show you. It's in Psalm 85 and verse 6. Wilt thou not revive us again that thy people may rejoice in thee? What is revival? When God's people start rejoicing in Him. That's exactly what David was doing in his praying. He was praising God. Revival is when God's people rejoice in Him again. Let us be reminded that praise is a vital part of our prayer life. But praise now leads to pleading. Look at verses 1 through 4 and you'll see what David's pleading for. He's pleading for God to bow His ear. He's pleading for God. He says, hear me. He says in verse 2, preserve my soul. He says in verse 3, be merciful unto me. He says in verse 4, rejoice my soul, the soul of my servant. He says in verse 6, give ear, O Lord. He says in verse 11, teach me thy way, O Lord. He says in verse 16, oh, turn unto me. I need you, Lord. Will you please turn my direction? He's pleading. He said, give me or show me a token for good. Verse 17, see, praise encourages our faith to pray for more. When we praise the Lord in the presence of the Lord privately, we have faith to pray for more. Praise precedes pleading. Notice again, David really isn't praying for anything but for God to hear him and for God to help him. He's not asking for any big blessing. He actually said in verse 11, teach me thy way, O Lord, I'll walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. He's saying, I want to walk with you. I want to live for you. He's pleading. It's all personal. He's not praying about anybody else in this prayer but himself. Me is 9 times in this text of Scripture. He's pleading. Notice with me in verse number 3. Not only is it pleading, but verse number 3, we see something else. He said, be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. It's in Psalm 88 and verse number 9, daily. He said, I do it daily. Not only is it pleading, but it's perpetual. It's just daily. Prayer is something you don't turn off and turn on. Prayer is not something you turn off and turn on. Spurgeon said, the habit of prayer is blessed, but the spirit of prayer is better. And I say, amen. God's will is for all of us in this room to pray without ceasing, because that's what God told us to do. He said, pray without ceasing. That's God's expectation for every believer. You say, Brother Justin, that's a tall order. I'm just telling you what God told us. He said, pray without ceasing. That's God's will for all of us. The spirit of prayer is what we must have. It was perpetual in David's life. He prayed daily. He daily offered his praise. He daily offered his prayer. How about you? Do you want life again? You got to get back to praying. The crying sin of the church is our laziness for God. We might be hungry for the church to grow. We might be hungry for God to do things in the church. We might be hungry for activity. We might be hungry for ministry. But are we hungry for God in our own personal lives? It is time to seek the Lord. We're sluggish for God and apathetic. Listen to the church pray, and you'll notice we are heartless and empty. Listen to churches' prayer requests, and you'll soon find out that your church is void of any true passion for God, true heart for God. Friends, we pursue everything in life but the one that we ought to pursue. We pursue money. We pursue business. We pursue recreation. We pursue things. We pursue trinkets. We pursue relaxation. We pursue animals. We pursue everything but the one who matters, Jesus Christ. We are lazy many days for God alone. That I may know Him. Is that your cry? It's perpetual. It's every day. We have more passion for nothing things in this life and little passion for God. What are you pursuing? What are you after? Or are you lazy for God? I believe that we've gotten sluggish and just, you ever gotten lazy before? You got sluggish before? Sometimes I have a little problem with my blood sugar. And when my blood sugar goes off, I get real sluggish. Who can relate to me? And we all need a health seminar, don't we? But you know what I'm talking about, get sluggish, and you just don't got no energy to go, right? Amen? And we get that way as Christians, we get sluggish and lazy for God. What we need to do is we need to get on the old rock altar and repent of our apathy towards God and ask God to give us a hunger back for Him. Now is the time. What about your heart? No other time to seek Him but right now. See, God has a way of touching your heart, and He has a way of pausing your life and say, boy, you need to get right with God. Boy, you need to get your heart stirred up. There used to be a day when you were closer to God. There used to be a day when you drew near to me. There used to be a day when you had a prayer closet. There used to be a day when you get alone and pray for sinners. There used to be a day when you get alone, ask God to burn you, and you get on fire for God. But when's the last time? We got a lot of used to be's. But how about the now, Christians? Now is the time for us to obey the Lord and stop chasing everything and start chasing God. David said, I do it daily. Do you do it daily? Well, I pray at dinner. I pray in the truck. Well, this is the next thing. And you have to forgive your preacher. The next thing's the last thing, but you got to forgive me on this one. I don't really have a text for it. Anything that I usually say, I try to back it up with Scripture, but I don't have a text for this. But it's all right. The last thing's not only it's perpetual, it's private. It's private because he's all alone. He's all by himself. I don't know where he was at this time, but he's been in a cave before, hadn't he, praying? He could have been hiding out somewhere. I don't know where he's at. But he's all alone. It's not about your wife or your husband sitting next to you. It's about your private prayer life. It's about your time with God. It'll all begin to add up if you'll just take a piece of chalk and put it right here and draw it all the way around yourself and say, Lord, start with me. I'm going to seek you. I'm not seeking you for anything else but for you and for you to bring back that joy in my life, to bring back that touch in my life, to bring back your presence in my life. See, it's private. It's all alone. Jesus had something to say about this, didn't he? Jesus said, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet and shut the door. Enter into thy closet and shut the door. There's two things there I want to preach on for just a little while. First of all, when Jesus said that in Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 5, he said, enter into the closet. Thy closet. That means that you better have one. Do you have one? Do you have your closet, thy closet, a place, a spot where you meet with God, an altar? I'm telling you what, God blessed those that built altars in the Old Testament. And that's one thing, not just a public altar. We've forsaken this public altar, no doubt. And the reason we've forsaken the public altar is because we've forsaken the private altar, and that is the closet in Matthew chapter number 6. Do you have a closet? Thy closet. And second of all, not only do I talk about the closet, I talk about the privacy of it. It's alone. Nobody can see you. We are what we are when we are what we truly are alone. Alone. Nobody sees me preach. Nobody sees me sing. Nobody sees me minister. I'm alone. That's who you are. Judge it by what you are when you are alone with God. Private. We're looking for great public meetings. Amen. But you'll never have a great public meeting until we have some great private meetings with Jesus. I hope you want something. If you don't want a great public meeting, God help you. If you don't want church to be blow your socks off by the power of the Holy Ghost, you really need something. You really need something. Let me tell you something right here while I'll just do a little commercial break right here. I don't want regular church. I just don't want to come in here and leave and be the same. I want God to change my life and change your life, save souls, revive the church, and I want the paint to be peeled off these walls. I'm telling you, it's happening across this country, and I believe God can do it here. And if you think it's happening like it ought to happen here, I'm just going to tell you as your pastor, you're sadly mistaken. Everybody look at, oh, Bemis Road Baptist Church, great. I want to tell you as your pastor, and I love you, but I when I hear all those compliments, I let them go in one ear and out the other, and I think to myself, I need revival and we need revival. I'm not going to hear that. We need a touch from God. We need a realness that is tangible from the Lord, a great awakening. And it starts not in our public meetings, it starts in our private meetings, in our closet. The very reasons we don't have strong prayer meetings publicly is because we do not have strong private prayer meetings in our homes. When's the last time you prayed as a family? When's the last time you prayed with all your children? When's the last time you prayed with your wife and knelt beside her in bed? When's the last time you prayed all by yourself? If we don't do it privately, you can expect nothing. Publicly, you can say amen or oh me. We have shallow public meetings because we have shallow private meetings. Child of God, everything can be fixed in my life, this church, and in your life with a great move of God, an awakening, a stirring, a revival. There was an evangelist to America that went to Africa to be a missionary. And Brother Lindsay, he went over there and God was ready. He had all those hearts ready. People got saved like crazy. This tribe in the wilderness, poor people. He went in there, people got saved by the hundreds. He said the tribe had more people, got to the place where more people were saved in the tribe than not saved. Saved right up one right after another. And he began to disciple these people and teach them how to pray. He said, you need to get your prayer closet. You need to get you a prayer closet. You need to get you a place where you can get alone with God. But everybody was in such mass in that tribe, they were stacked on top of each other. He said, this is what I recommend you do. He said, I recommend you walking through the wilderness and getting you a trail out somewhere and then taking you your knife and you cutting down some trees and getting you a spot in the wilderness where nobody else is and you getting alone with God away from the tribe. And that's where you meet with God. Well, as the months went by, that's what they did. You could see the trails coming out of the tribe, out of the village. You could see the little, you know what I'm talking about, those little cow trails? Where it's all beat down, right? And as the evangelist missionary stayed there longer and longer and longer, he started to notice something. He noticed some trails defined. He noticed some trails beaten down. But then he started to notice week by week by week, some of the trails that were beat down were not beat down any longer. Grass started to grow up under the path that was once beat down. What happened? They stopped going to the closet. They stopped walking the trail. They stopped spending the time. They stopped paying the price. They stopped getting alone with God. And they let the grass grow up under their feet. I wonder, church, if we've let the grass grow up under our feet. More, maybe you could say, no, preacher. It's still no grass. It's still beat down like a hard piece of concrete. It's still firm because I get on that prayer altar every day and I go meet God and I bombard heaven. Or I wonder in here who would have to say, preacher, before God, I got to admit, the grass is growing up under my feet. And I don't have a trail to my closet. I'm telling you what, where you meet God is where you become the Christian God wants you to be. Right there in that prayer closet. They walked in the church of Spurgeon's Tabernacle. They were fixing to start to have the meeting over 100 years ago. And they said, take us, please, to the most important room. We just got a few minutes before service starts. And they took a group in the basement underneath the pulpit. And they said, we call this the power room. And underneath the pulpit, there was 700 men praying to God for Spurgeon as he preached underneath the pulpit. I'd have to say that probably started in private before it got to public, right? How's your trail to your closet? Did you meet God this morning? Did you meet Him last night? God knows your spot. God knows your place. God knows your heart. It's time to seek the Lord. Say, Brother Justin, I agree. It's time to seek the Lord. Say, Brother Justin, I agree. It's time to seek the Lord. I said that all together. I believe it's time to agree with God. It's time to seek the Lord. Men, it's time to seek the Lord. It's time to be leaders in private. It's time to seek the Lord. Ladies, it's time to seek the Lord. There's a God in heaven waiting for a people that'll come to Him in faith and repentance to say, I've done wrong. I've neglected you. Now it's going to be different now. I'm going to seek you. It's going to be different. Next Monday is going to be different. I'm going to seek the Lord. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let's stand together. No looking around. Everybody quiet. Nobody moving. Nobody leaving. Unless it's an absolute emergency. Say, Brother Justin, I want to push the reset button on my prayer life. I've let the grass grow under my feet. And I need to get right with God. And I need to start with prayer. Anybody lift your hand up, just come to the altar. Who will be serious about this? And say, my prayer life's not what it is. God, help us to be what we ought to be for the glory of God in our prayer life. And come to an altar and ask the Lord to revive us in our prayer life. It's time to seek the Lord. Heavenly Father, thank you for the day. My heart is extremely burdened. It's heavy. Lord, I want to see you move. I want to see souls saved and lives changed. But Lord, I pray you'd help me in my own individual prayer life, that I grab the horns of the altar and not let go. Lord, I'd seek you with a whole heart, sincerely. And I pray for our church that as one man, not as one or two or three or four, but as one man, we'd say it's time now to seek the Lord. And we do it fully and sincerely. And now I pray for every man that they get a heart for you. I pray for every man that they get a desire for you that is consuming, that is so great that they can't sleep or eat until they get thoroughly right with you through prayer. I pray for every lady the same way, that they'd seek your face sincerely until they get all right with you. And Lord, I pray that you'd send revival to our lives. Make us uncomfortable. Give us a burden to seek you thoroughly, Lord Jesus. In Christ's name we pray, and have mercy on us, I pray, for our sin and disobedience. In Christ's name.